That's right. I was going to divide up faith, hope, and charity, and then we have to go for the gifts and the fruits. First of all, the virtue of faith. This was designed when there was a pedestal under me here. Okay. So the faith is the first of the principle, the first of the virtues. And like I said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is, strictly speaking, it should be the greatest of all the virtues. But in practice, in this life, it is not, because of the fact that we can never, the reason why faith is not the greatest virtue in this life is because the object of faith cannot be perfectly attained. You know, that every virtue is an action that has an object that it goes after. And the object of faith is God revealing. So the object of faith is God revealing. We cannot perfectly possess God in this life. Then when we possess God perfectly, that's heaven. So the actual perfection of faith is heaven. That's the beatific vision, where we see God face to face. Since in this life we cannot attain the completion of the object of the virtue of faith, because of that alone, the virtue of faith is not the greatest of virtues in the in this life. Although strictly speaking, it should be, because it's the principal virtue. Okay, that's good. And the object is God revealing. And then the way that faith operates, we may have to continue here with the future, continuing with the virtue of faith. The faith is theoretically, as far as where it resides, every virtue has a place inside of us. It's seated inside of us, and every virtue's seat is going to be some part of man: intellect, will, or the passions. And the seat or the location of the virtue of faith is primarily the intellect, but it is not only the intellect. You know what? Whenever a truth is presented to your mind, you don't need to make yourself believe it. You don't need to make yourself believe that I am standing in front of you, because it's just obvious. And each year it becomes more obvious, but nonetheless, it's obvious. So in any case, but I mean, the fact is, whatever is presented to us before our minds clearly, we do not doubt and we simply accept. We don't need the will to give us an added oomph to accept an obvious truth that is put in front of us. Faith, however, requires the will to kick in, because we don't see in this life perfectly the object of faith. So we do not see God face to face yet. There can be no faith in heaven, because we will see. Faith is replaced by vision. We call it faith because we see only in an obscure manner. This is the way that St. Paul says it. We see now in a dark manner. So we see, but it's obscure. And so we can see shadows of God. We can see that He is there, and we can see that His truth, the world that He created, is obvious. That is obvious. But as far as the Blessed Trinity, for instance, the principal doctrine of the faith, we cannot see the Blessed Trinity. We will see the Blessed Trinity when we are in heaven. We can see some fruits or effects of the Blessed Trinity. Like St. Bonaventure points out, the stamp of the Trinity is in the world around us, that everything is three in one, that you can see evidences. You cannot see any natural evidences of the Blessed Trinity, but you can see how there are kinds of trinities in the world. You can give an explanation and a certain understanding of it, but you cannot see perfectly the Blessed Trinity in this life. Therefore, faith requires not only the intellect, but also the will. The will has to say, "I believe." We have to make an act of the will by which we choose to believe with supernatural faith. Whereas in the basic natural knowledge, we don't have to make an act of the will, as well as the act of the intellect. There are two reasons why we must make an act of the will. One, because of the fact that We do not see clearly the object of faith in this life. We are not going to be able to do that until we get to heaven. And the second is because the object is bigger than us. You may, if you look at something which is infinitely large, the object may be perfectly clear, but if it's too big, we can't see it anyway, because it's entirely too large for us. Well, God is infinite in all directions. Therefore, He has to put into us a special strength. He has to elevate us to be able to see to supernatural truths. The natural truth that there is a God, that's obvious. Everyone knows that. That He's going to reward the good and He's going to punish the wicked. That, you know, that there's order in the world. Those are obvious, simple truths about God. But the supernatural truths about God, that He became man and died for our sins. That there is the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That He founded a Catholic Church. That there are seven sacraments. These supernatural truths we cannot know on our own reason. And that's by our own reason without the help of grace. And that's a very important difference between Catholics and Protestants. Protestants, you know, believe, the traditional Protestants, of course now there's thousands of different religions and they don't really know what they believe, the majority of them. But the traditional Protestants believe that all you have to do is look at the Bible and you see the teaching of Christ and you say, yep, that makes sense, I believe it. Catholics say this doctrine is supernatural. It is bigger than I am capable of understanding on my own. It is not enough for me to pick up a Bible and say, yep, I believe that, agree with that, agree with that, no problem, yep, yep, yep. That isn't good enough. It requires a special grace of God by which He gives me the strength to be able to believe. A special grace to be able to believe. He has to supernaturally elevate my mind and supernaturally elevate my will to be able to believe these doctrines are really supernaturally true. The natural doctrines are no problem. Ten Commandments, the existence of God, and you know, the hell and heaven. The hell and a place of reward, not heaven, but hell and a place of reward. Those things are simple and obvious. But the supernatural aspect of things is not obvious, and it requires a special grace to be able to believe it. So no one can have faith except by it being a gift of God. And that's very important to realize, I say, in the dealing of apologetics. Those of us that are raised in the faith or think very much about the faith, it seems very obvious to us. Why doesn't everybody believe this? It is true that the Catholic Church makes sense, and it's the only church that makes sense, that is in accord with reason, but it is infinitely above reason. So to be in accord with reason is not sufficient. It is infinitely above reason and requires something else, a special gift of God, to actually be able to believe. And that's important to realize concerning the virtue of faith. We sometimes believe, well, if you just simply memorize your catechism, and if you just simply know all the things in the book, then you have faith. And that is not true. Arius, the founder of the Arian heresy, was extremely well schooled in his catechism. He had it very well memorized, but then he decided to twist it and develop his own form of it and change the teaching of the church. And he was so intelligent in the way that he did it that many people didn't even realize it, and that he deceived. He was a very good deceiver. He got people to believe that he was teaching the Catholic doctrine, and the next thing you know, they didn't believe it anymore. That's why St. Jerome says the world woke up one day and found itself Arian. Somehow it just happened, and nobody knows how it happened. He just simply just said the catechism, the catechism, the catechism, the catechism, and then somehow at the end it wasn't the same as it was in the book. And, you know, he was able to deceive in his teaching. And so the knowledge of the facts is not the virtue of faith. Faith is an actual virtue, which requires a supernatural grace of God, by which He enters into the mind and elevates it to be able to see. And He enters into the heart and strengthens it to be able to say, I believe. We actually talk about that in the baptismal ceremony. Take the oil and put it on the ear, the saliva, put it on the ears of the child, so that the priest will give to the child Christ will give to the child a special power to be able to hear the faith. So that, you know, our Lord says, they have ears, but they do not hear. Having ears, they hear not. Having eyes, they see not. It takes a supernatural grace to have ears to hear the faith. And it takes supernatural grace to have eyes to see. And it's important to recognize that because it is universal amongst the saints that the beginning of the loss of faith amongst the intelligent or amongst those that are secure in their belief or seem secure in their belief is that they forget that faith is a supernatural gift which is beyond their understanding, and therefore they must respect and adore the teachings of the church, and which they don't grab onto because they're really smart guys. The way the majority of heretics began is that they began to be comfortable with the teachings of the faith, and they began to manipulate them with their natural reason only, in such a way that they were no longer teaching the Catholic doctrine and no longer submitting to it. They forgot about the supernatural aspect of our belief. We believe because God says so, not because it makes sense. We believe because of the grace and gift of God. We don't believe because it makes sense to us. And even though it does, that's not the reason why we believe. Our reason is higher than that, the reason for belief. And better go hear confessions here. So.